Everything's up. It's going up even more.
Yeah, as long as we don't go up in smoke.
Yeah, well, I guess what I hear is that, I guess Ukraine is in negotiations with Russia now to have a ceasefire be implemented, but who knows. So it says here, pay inside. They have these, as you know, these machines that I can just put my card in, but it says pay inside, so I gotta go inside anyway. All right, I'll be back, because I'm in front of the pump.
Yeah, my 2H mobile.
I'll be back soon. WHCDM. $51 to fill up, so that's not too bad. Well, 60 is, I mean, it is what it is. So, now I'm good for a while.
Yeah. Yes, sirree. So we had a wonky synthesizer.
I guess it goes out of lock, then it goes back into lock, it goes out and goes back in, and maybe it's just an adjustment. Maybe it's at the hairy edge. Or maybe it's maybe you can adjust it.
Well, it's got dip switches to set the frequency range, but he was going to bring it into the shop, put it on a test shelf, and see what he can see.
Yeah, when I was with the Port Authority, we had one from a Master 3 also, because we use those, or they use those, and had a bad synthesizer, and I fixed it. They gave it to me. I was working on the bench at the time, and there was a service mount component. I think it was a capacitor that changed value. I couldn't get it to lock no matter what I did. And I was able to figure it out. So, yeah, that worked. But that, I'm talking about, this was 11 years ago, 12 years ago. This was in 2011, I think. That's when I was working there.
Yeah, time flies when you're having fun. But, alright, I'm in my driveway. Gonna go in the house. So, what are you up to today? Did you do the gas station thing yet?
Oh, yes, I'm just coming back. It's all done. So now I got other things. I got to finish up some other projects that I'm working on. Get that out of the way. Eventually, I got to get my resume together. there's another job that it's not that I'm leaving the job that I'm on now, but there's a second thing I got to do. It's coming up. So, more work.
Well, you could use the more work, I mean, just to support your gasoline habit.
they are, yes. Everything's going up. So, that's the way it is.
Yeah, all right. Maybe I'll talk to you later. InfoNet tonight, folks. 8:30. Be there or be square. And then a shop and swap. Or as George would say, shop and swap. And then Radio Newsline. Followed by much silence. I noticed that after that whole series on Monday nights, the repeater gets quiet for quite a while. I guess people have gotten fatigued by then. All right. Have a good one. WA2CDL, NY2H. Clear.
Yeah, there's only one thing I don't understand. I kind of like question to myself. During the swap and shop, people check in and they say supporting. And that's all they say. I'm supporting. This guy supports. That guy supports. This guy supports. I say to myself, why do they even say that? It's kind of understood that people are listening and supporting it. I'm waiting for somebody to come on and say, I'm not supporting this. But it's kind of funny when you think about it. There's no reason to say I'm supporting it. Of course I'm supporting it. I'm not against it. But people are doing that.
Yeah, you're making me chuckle. Yeah, it's true. Well, let's go back to the TechNet now. So it used to be people would do that on the TechNet, and Dick would tell them that he only wants to hear from them if they have something to say, question, or comment. And it was understood that after 30-some-odd years, whatever, he knows people are listening. So the swap and shop is the same thing. On the one hand, it shows you that, well, you have a lot of customers listening if you're trying to sell something, but you're right. I don't know. I guess it's a boost to the net control. Gives them something to do if there's not too much activity. But, yeah, you're right. Supporting. I'm not supporting. I'm against this. Take a vote, right? All righty. See you later, NY2H.
Yeah, you're making me laugh. And the only reason why I said it, because it sounds funny, it's kind of funny. You know, it's just that, it's kind of obvious. People will support it, but they say it. All right. Yeah, it's interesting. I just pulled into my next stop. I'll talk to you later. Have a good day, too. WA2CDL.
WA2CDL, are you still out there? Rich, this is Paul, N2DQR. You're very funny.
Okay, N2DQR. Yeah, I just pulled into my stop here. But this is Andy, by the way. I know it's confusing because I know I sound like Rich, but his call is K2KNB, and my call is WA2CDL. But we sound alike. We don't look alike. Well, maybe we do, but we don't. We sound alike, so I can understand the confusion.
You're funny, Rich. Andy, you're funny. Okay, I won't hold you. I'll let you go. I'm going to go for a walk at Glendale Park today if I get my car back, my cousin's car back from the mechanic in time. He had to have his muffler fixed, his air conditioning, his brakes. He had a lot of work done. 73s, Andy.
Okay, yeah, speaking of mufflers, I just got a new muffler for my snowblower, which I took apart to fix, and I got a new carburetor for it, so I'm waiting for the warm weather. Then I can fix my snowblower, so next time it snows, because it's not going to snow, you know. That's why I'm fixing it. I'll have it ready for next time. All right, anyway, 73. Talk to you next time. Don't you hate to see you.
Bye, Andy. are listening. N2DQI listening.
Mark InfoNet tonight at 8:30. This is the W2VL repeater.
W2OSR. W2OSR. Hey, Bob. KD2AK.
Oh, hi, John. You got everything all back to the house all right?
I only carry what I can carry in on one hand truck. I hate taking multiple trips.
Yeah, I'm still recovering from the marathon of getting stuff into the hall and then back out again.
So, sir, SP was it was. Is a 301 and a 401 or a 303? Where'd you get those from? Were those yours or were you selling them for somebody?
They came out of a Silent Keys estate from somebody local that passed away. I never did get a chance to try to power them up. I may try that in the next week or so.
Yep, yep. Plug him in and see if you get any gray smoke.
That's the hardest part of fixing them, getting the smoke back in. W2KAG.
Hey, if you keep it in a bag, you can collapse the bag and push the smoke back in. Ha-ha.
Touché.
Okay, John, you taught me a new technique.
Interesting that you found them at that price on eBay, because I know Craig used to get a couple of those every once in a while, and I don't think he was getting much money for them. Wasn't really that big of a demand for those old SB-303s and 401s.
Okay, well, I really don't know, but that's what I store. Oh, well. I'm trying to get to the place where I'm going to eat lunch. Let me go. Try not to run the kid over that delivered the pizzas here.
Well, the interesting thing about eBay is, you know, you can see the stuff there and might have a high price. The big question is, are they selling it for that price? I still haven't found it. Somebody says there's a place where you can go and look up stuff that's been sold on eBay and do a search and see what things have actually sold for in price. But still haven't found that location on the internet.
John, I know they used to do it if you were trying to find something. Sometimes they would show you what it sold for in an earlier auction, but I haven't seen that for a while. I've run into two things that I fixed on equipment I got from them where the lubricant you used on shafts dried out and turned to glue.
That's a possibility.
Yep.
Yep. All right. Very good. All right. I mean, from what I saw, it almost looked like, did that come from a smoking ham shack? And I don't mean as far as equipment smoking.
No, I don't think so. I think it just hadn't been used for years and was sitting in a corner someplace. The main radio was, I kind of wiped it off because it was a little dusty and had a few little, like, grease marks on it. But other than that, it looked pretty good. Actually worked very well. Shame nobody bought it. I sold all the accessories that went with it except for the keyer.
NY2A.
Tony, what's going on, Tony?
Hey, what's up, John? What's up, Bob? Yeah, the feature you're talking about in terms of looking up old prices, you could actually do that on eBay itself to a limited extent because they also sell that data as a subscription. But if you just go on the left-hand side and expand your options, there's an option where it says show sold and or completed auctions, and it'll go back probably, I think, maybe 30 days or so. So if it's a piece of equipment that's not sold frequently, it's probably not going to show up. But eBay has monetized that because you used to be able to go far, far back. Now they sell it as a subscription service to get data that goes back for years, so you get a better idea. But as a quick and dirty mechanism, you can just go to the left-hand side and scroll down and expand the search filters, and you can actually just bring up only sold listings and only completed listings, so you can see if it's sold or it was that didn't sell because I guess the asking price was too high. So just wanted to jump in there and pass on that information.
Okay, I'm just going to say a quick thank you. I'm out of the car. I know I didn't hear the beep, but take care, guys.
Hi, Bob. Very good. Hi, Tony. Thanks. Yeah. You know, sometimes you see something and you're interested in it, but you didn't put it in your watch list, and then all of a sudden you go back and you notice it's gone, and it's like, oh, it must have sold. It's just curiosity. What did it sell for? And if it was sold in the past 30 days, you can go in there and look and see, oh, yeah, look at that. Somebody did buy that old piece of equipment for how much?
Yeah, I mean, the selling prices on eBay tend to be a lot higher because, in my opinion, my theory on that is based on two things. You're probably dealing with people that live in locations where they don't have access to Hamfest or clubs and a lot of things like that, so they are a little more eager. Plus the fact, I think, you know, the whole auction process brings out the competitive nature of people and people get caught up in the excitement of it and tend to overbid. So I think, in general, the prices on eBay are nowhere near reflective of what you're going to ever get at a ham fest.
Oh, yeah, definitely. You know, even not even ham equipment, other stuff. People think they have gold. And some of the prices are really ridiculous.
Yeah. I think that people just throw stuff up there and figure if somebody's willing to pay it, I'm willing to sell it at that crazy price. It's a lot very similar to what's going on with real estate in general, and particularly upstate, where people are putting their houses on the market for two or three times the normal value and getting it sometimes just because, you know, the mood of the moment.
You know what you say, if you throw baloney on the wall, it will stick, but the problem is how long.
Yeah, 100% correct on that.
Part of the issues with the pricing on eBay is you got to pay eBay 10% of the sale price, too.
Another aspect, yeah, when you add in the fees and the PayPal fees and the postage and everything, you're talking probably more than 10%.
Exactly right. That's why I won't sell on there anymore. W2KAG, sitting here listening.
John, you still there? Or did we lose it?
still here until we get almost close to where that tanker truck on Sunrise Highway in Merrick crashed into that building. But I got lucky and heading south here, got away from that location. All right, coming up on my next stop, so I'll see you guys soon. I'll be back, KD2AKX.
Very good, John. Stay safe. 3NY2A. WB2ZFC.
Mark InfoNet tonight at 8:30. This is the W2VL repeater.
NDG Mobile. WA2CDL. WA2CDL. WA2VSM. NDG Mobile.
Where were you yesterday?
I'm staying isolated. I'm having my surgery on Friday, so. In fact, that's why I'm down here today. I'm in North Jersey.
Oh, okay. KD2IKX. All right. Hope everything is well.
Well, it should be. It sounds scarier than it is, but having a somewhat major operation on Friday. my own people here are doing it, so I'm here for a pre-surgical today, which is at 2. I got here early, and then Friday I'll be at the surgery center on 61st Street, and I will be out of commission for a few weeks, so... they're giving me at least 4 weeks off of work for it, more if I need it. So we will see how it goes.
Well, I hope everything goes well. And it's interesting you have your own people doing the surgery. Must be nice to have your own people.
Well, it's just... one of those benefits that, you know, the decision of taking this job 12 years ago, you know, it was a good decision then, and it's a better decision now. So, and this was a totally by accident thing. My doctor just didn't like the way something felt, sent me in for an ultrasound for something completely unrelated, and they found something on one of my kidneys, and they were like, oh, that's got to come out.
Okay, yeah, that doesn't belong there. Let's go in there and take that out. All right, that sounds like fun.
Yeah, kidneys are fairly... not as alarming as it sounds, but... And I have really no symptoms, which is the weird part.
KD2IKX. Well, you know, it's going to get to the point where they're just going to make it mandatory when you you turn 50, you got to go in for a full body scan. Because, you know, just let's take a look inside and let's see what's not supposed to be there.
Oh, yeah. I had, you know, other things to be concerned about, but, yeah, this has been the most serious one. But... other than that, things are good. Things are good. Except every now and then the yelling and foot stomping I hear from the room next to my home office. You know what I'm talking about. yeah. So, I think she's starting to remember why she wanted to get out of that in the first place.
The memories. There you go. What are you going to do? Well, it was kind of light yesterday. Didn't have as many vendors. We had a lot of empty tables. And I would say the turnout wasn't that big as normal, but it was still a good turnout.
I think people are just weary at the moment. You know, it's been an interesting winter, and there's just so much going on, and people are just kind of holding back a little bit. It's early for something like this. It really is. I think things will be better for the next one. So, and depending on when that falls, I might be at the next one. We'll see. So, my phone's ringing. I gotta go.
There goes my phone. I'll be back. Back out again, huh?
Yeah, is that you behind me in the Bosch truck?
Considering your license plate has your call sign on it, I would say yes, sir. That's a Mia.
Yeah, I was wondering. I caught the truck as I went past. I said, I wonder if that's John.
What are you doing around here?
I'm just on my way back from Costco. My wife likes the steaks from there, and I picked up a couple of other things.
See, now I thought maybe you were at Micro Center.
No, they've seen enough of my money for a while.
Getting to a kick. Well, see you, Bob. I see you heading up north. I'm heading over this way. I gotta go up to Port Washington.
All right, you're gonna be the other side of Hempstead Harbor from me then. I'm heading back to the house now.
YWO listening.
Flymark InfoNet tonight at 8:30. This is the W2VL repeater.
WOSR Mobile.
Fly Mark InfoNet tonight at 8:30. This is the W2VL repeater.
KD2AKX, KD2AKX, W2NVG. W2NDG Mobile, listening.
NCTIK test.
Bravo Zulu, W2BZ listening.
W2VL repeater.
A little bit north of that.
Glen Oaks was much louder. I mean, it was 30%, maybe 40% louder. Even when I was right on top of the Sheldon repeater. Why would that be? Is there a gain control on these machines someplace?
W2BZ, NY2HR. Let's back up a little bit. A couple of questions out there. Did we have a spare board lying around? Well, we had a spare repeater lying around. So we took the board from the one repeater and put it in the other one. And as far as you're working with Roy and having that little bit of a delay because you were listening on Echolink and talking on the repeater, you now have the pleasure of understanding some of these correspondents on TV when they're going remote and trying to have a decent discussion back and forth, but the delay kind of trips them up a little bit. And as far as the gains, well, it'll have to be leveled out, the audio on the whole system. Once we have everything replaced, we'll do a walk through the whole system and get those audio levels all similar. But right now we have a temporary link, and that link audio, however it's adjusted, I believe it's a little bit hot on one side, so that's it. So you have a little bit of unbalance there, but we'll get that all squared away. And that's it. Yeah, the bonus review has been coming out here pretty strong. In fact, this morning when I went to meet Steve, I was doing the same thing. I was transmitting on Selden, but I was listening on both Selden and Glen Oaks on my dual, radio. I have two receivers. And, I had to do that for a while. So the signal was strong enough that I could hear it out here from the mobile. So that worked out also. Back to you.
Yeah, I was shocked that I could hear Glen Oaks all the way out to Riverhead. I mean, past about exit 70 or 71, I started getting that mobile flutter you hear, that high-speed flutter you hear on a distant signal that's still making it. But other than that flutter, like I said, it was way louder than Selden. But you now, you have a perfect signal going into Selden now. It's absolutely full quieting, loud. The audio's perfect. You just have a pristine signal going into Selden. Or maybe you're going into Glen Oaks, I'm not sure. But I just got a new radio. I put my antenna up 5 more feet. That's about going to be it. In this HOA, even if they may not even let me keep it at all, if management comes around and takes a look at it. But I'm way in the back of this development where, except for my 3 neighbors, nobody comes walking by here. So hopefully they won't either. But I think I should finally have a decent signal. Decent audio, not compressed. I like the other radio that I had before this. It's sturdier, the knobs and everything. It has a more expensive feel to it, but this one seems to have good audio. And right now, I took the power meter out of the line, so. But I'm probably running around 35 watts into Selden from Riverhead, which is 22 miles away, Lou. And thanks again for that map. That makes a difference.
Yeah, your audio is good. Good communication quality audio. You're very readable. A little bit of, little bit of noise in the background, but it's not a deal killer. It's okay. So yeah, you're sounding better than you have for quite a while, and that's good. So I don't know what the power level is now, but yeah. So if you even stay that way, you'd be fine. So, and I put that video up on our YouTube channel of that live stream that you participated in. I wonder if you got a chance to take a look at that.
Lou, my daughter had just called from Israel. You know, they don't understand. They can't understand how miraculous it is to be able to call whoever they want in the entire world. Well, I don't know about Ukraine right now, but in the entire world that's not at war, they, for free. When I was in Israel, I was in a war in Israel in 1973, and I was able to talk to my parents once a week for about 5 minutes, and that was it. They call me, you know, just to say goodnight, which she just did. So I missed that last minute of your transmission. But they just don't get it. And then we could go on Zoom, you know, and I could see my daughter halfway around the world effortlessly. And they just take it as their normal everyday life. And I keep on telling them they don't want to hear it anymore. But you guys don't understand, you know. I was able to talk to my parents for 5 minutes once a week, and you guys could call me to say goodnight for free. So, if you would just repeat what you said at the tail end.
And wait, well, first let me comment on what you just said, because it's very interesting. And you're right, it's... I even think it diminishes ham radio, because back in the day when we didn't have the internet and cell phones and all the good stuff we have now, ham radio was really magic, if you think about it. But, yeah, if you grow up in it, you take it for granted. So I kind of was searching out an analogy for that. And I guess, you know, at one time, we didn't have anesthesia. They put a stick in your mouth and told you to bite on it. Maybe give you a shot of whiskey or something. So that's something that I guess we don't appreciate, because we grew up with, anesthesia available, let's say. So, yes, it's incredible. And the fact that they can do that and think it's just the norm, and I guess it is the norm at this point. So, now, what I was saying before was that I, I don't know if you're aware, but Limark has a YouTube channel, and if you're not subscribed to it, you should subscribe to it, because it helps us. But I posted that video stream, remember the live stream where you were talking to Greg in California the other day. He was in Southern California, and you had a QSO with him. He was on Echolink. So there's a video up there of that. I thought maybe you want to take a look at it.
Yeah, that's the way you get people to subscribe on YouTube. Just put a video of their QSOs up there. Yeah, I'm going to take a look at that real quick. That was sort of weird, you know, to have a live stream of a QSO. Again, that speaks to what ham radio used to be. And I guess there's a Zoom type of application for it. But when I was a kid, believe it or not, I go back so far that when I was a kid, the only other people who had communications in automobiles were the police with those long whips. Remember they had those long, like, Mayberry RFD whips on the back of their car? And some medical. And I guess the military, but no civilians. You know, when cell phones first came out, they were big enough that they looked like what they really are, which is transceivers. And I was sort of put off by the average citizen being able to have a transceiver on them when I had to pass all these tests to have a transceiver. But if you think of it, you're a computer guy, so I know you appreciate this. You know, when you go on a website in Japan, I mean a website, let's say Nissan or whatever, and let's say they're hosting it in Japan, people don't realize that you're actually accessing the hard drive of a computer in some room in Japan in 3 or 4 seconds. You can't wrap your mind around the routing of the signal to get to Japan that quickly. I can't. I don't know. I guess it's all fiber optic and at light speed, but, you know, they're switching all the way from here to there. That I don't get. It's a miracle, and you're right, the magic of ham radio has left it. When I saw my cousin talking to somebody in Switzerland from his bedroom, I was bit by the bug, and it hasn't let go since. But unfortunately, our numbers are dwindling. We're getting older. And we're not being replaced, unfortunately. The depleted heat demand, I guess, is where we're getting our replenishments from. It's sort of sad. I don't know, in 10, 20 years, maybe DMR, but that's just voice over IP anyway. Maybe digital will save us. I don't know. Do you think the numbers are just going to dwindle till we all die out?
Who knows? I mean, maybe it'll morph into some kind of integrated hobby of radio and science and everything else. Well, it is that way now, too, in a sense, but yeah, who knows? I mean, I feel like there's always a place for bare bones CW communication with minimalist equipment. And hopefully we'll always have that to back up on. I mean, you know, if we have major disasters or something like that, I mean, you know, it's as sophisticated and elegant as the technology is today, it's also far more vulnerable and could be subject to being compromised. That's why it's always good to be able to at least go back to basics. Well, first principles, but yeah, I don't know. You know, you do have a number of people. I don't know what the numbers are, but there are no hams all the time, so I don't know. Let me let it drop, and then I have something more to say. Hold on. Yeah, as far as those phone, yeah, one people. People got cell phones, and that became ubiquitous. It's back in the day before cell phones, they were mobile phones, but they weren't based on cellular technology, and they, you know, they weren't handed off per se. It was more of a long range thing. I know, I think in Plainview they had a couple of mobile sites for AT&T, and if you were a doctor, like you say, and had a phone in your car, you were doing that long haul. So it was very scarce, you know. In other words, the capacity for multiple calls at one time was low. Where now, with the cellular technology, there are gazillion calls going on all at once. But I remember even in the 70s when we had a auto patch on our repeaters, you'd walk around with an HC, you'd have a keypad on it, DTMF keypad, and you were able to initiate phone calls, and that was radical. You'd tell, you know, show your non-ham friends, and they would be amazed. And here we are a few decades later, and it's commonplace. W2BZNY2H.
Something or build something that enabled you to do auto patch. What was that?
I heard a station come in from the Glen Oaks side. You were very low. Could hardly hear what you said. It was very brief, so we'll give you a shot to come back in a second. Well, it depends on what you had. Like, I think I had a standard HC once, and it was modified with a DTMF pad on it, you know, touch tone pad on it. Didn't come with it initially. And also, I remember when PL was becoming popular, I had a rig that did not have PL on it, and I was in the club out here, Stony Brook Repeater Association, and we bought a bunch of kits. And we all made PL boards, and we'd have to attach them inside the rig, you know, power them up and integrate them into the audio stream with a certain deviation level. You know, so the initial equipment didn't have a lot of this stuff. There was a station trying to get in, maybe with Glen Oaks. If you are, come back again, try to speak up a little bit so we can hear you. Go ahead. Well, if that was a sincere attempt, we're not getting it. Just got a couple of carriers.